Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace, peace. Good evening. I welcome you with all my heart. It is wonderful being with you once again this beautiful Thursday evening. There are three simple ways in which we make simple progress. Spiritual work should be very simple. It should not be complicated. It should be in accordance with your nature. It should not be foreign to you. These rules have been promulgated by sages since the beginning of time. It is part of a lineage of sages. And if you practice these rules, you will see spiritual progress very fast. But the idea is you have to practice these things. It is true in the ultimate there is no practice. There is nothing to do. But that's in the ultimate. Where are we? You have to be very honest with yourself and realize where you are and what you're doing and what's happening to you. You cannot fool yourself too long. Or if you try to fool yourself, the whole world will come crashing down on you. Be true to yourself. And I canst not be false to any man. Our friend William Shakespeare. So the first rule is coming to satsang when you can. The reason for that is this. What you put first in your life determines what happens to you. That makes sense. Where your mind is, your heart is. So whatever you're doing at home, if you think of satsang, you think of being here, always saying satsang, breathing satsang, even when you're not here. Feeling that the whole world is satsang. All the people are devotees, including the animals, the trees, the mountains. Everything is full of life, vibrant life. When you look at everything as being alive, full of love, full of bliss and joy, then you can feel that you are the source of everything. In other words, there's no difference between you and the trees and the forests, or the flowers and the fields, or the mountains, with the animals and the human beings. There's no difference between an enlightened person and an ignorant person. The difference is only in your own mind. In God's eyes, everyone is God. In the so-called ignorant man's eyes, everybody's ignorant. When you come to satsang, you don't even have to listen to the words. Just be here. That's all you have to do. Or be at any satsang you choose. It's not too kosher to run after gurus. We go to different teachers all the time. We become utterly confused. This is reasonable to assume. Every teacher has their own method, their own way of teaching. If you find a real sage somewhere, stay with that sage, whoever he may be or she may be. And try to keep still. Do not keep looking for new teachings all the time, or asking the sage to explain certain teachings to you. Just be there and be still. But of course, you have to make sure that you're going to a sage. There are no new revelations in a sage. In other words, if you go to a teacher, the teacher claims to be a sage, and tells you he or she has had a revelation, so if you take off your clothes and stand on your head, and recite the Vedas upside down, become enlightened. Be careful of that person. There are no new revelations. There's nothing new under the sun. Spiritual life is very simple. Has been handed down through lineages, and even those who have their own experiences go along with lineages. Be very careful. Remember, these days there are more gurus than disciples. Open your heart. Be true to yourself. You'll know where to go. You'll know what to do. All the answers you're looking for are within you. You never really look to a teacher for answers. You go to the teacher for grace, not for answers. The sage's grace always flows in the silence. And if you're in tune with that grace, you will awaken. Simple as that. You can be a sinner. You can be any kind of a person. But if you're true to yourself, the self which you are will lead you to the right sage, the right teacher, and will cause you to awaken. It means you have to be humble, have humility, loving kindness, peace of mind. And you'll know what to do. This is all satsang. You are satsang. There's no real difference between you and me. Everything is the same, pure, good, blissful, absolute reality, nirvana, pure awareness. This is how things are now. Not tomorrow, next week, but right this moment. And you keep coming to satsang again and again and again and again and again. Something begins to happen to you, slowly but surely. Your system becomes refined. You become pure enough to receive grace. And you become free. This is why I emphasize it's important to catch yourself during the day and see where you're really coming from, what you're really doing. How you're reacting to things. How you look at life. You have to keep catching yourself and remember you're at satsang. You take the satsang with you wherever you go. Consequently, when I say be at satsang, it means to keep satsang in your mind always. There's no excuse why you don't have satsang. You don't have to be here physically sometimes, but wherever you have satsang in your mind, it's the same thing. So again, the first rule, to come to satsang, always, physically or mentally. When you're working, you can imagine all the co-workers, the satsangis, as hard as that may be for some of you. There are no evil people. There's nothing evil anywhere. I know some of you are saying, well, what about what we read in the paper? What about the people going around killing people? For whom is this? Is this for you? This is not your world. I know if you're here for the first time, it sounds a little strange. We're involved in this world, I'm saying this is not your world. If you're on a high spiritual path, it's not your world. the world of violence, of dog eat dog, so to speak, of man's inhumanity to man. You do not belong to this world. You belong to the world of total freedom, total joy and bliss, pure love, unalloyed happiness. This is the world you belong to. What do you see? What you see, you become. So again, the first rule is the BSSI. The second rule is to sit in silence at the prescribed hours that the sage told you to. This is important. Well, this is the time that you tune into the grace which flows forever. The time that we sit together for this group is from 12 to 3 a.m. and from 6 to 9 a.m. I know these seem to be ungodly hours. But try doing it for about a week and see what happens. You have people all over the world sitting at these hours. And we're all tuning into each other. Again, if you're serious on this path, if you want to make progress, do not look to read every new book that comes out. But do the work that we're talking about. Take the action. So many of you get involved in all these books by new teachers that pop up here and there. And you're always reading, 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 reading. Now those of you who are reading like this, take a look at your life. How much progress have you really made in all these years you've been reading? You want to start doing and not reading. Sit at those hours. And watch what happens. The third rule is to practice self-inquiry. And you can do this every minute of the hour of your day. There's no time that you cannot practice. To begin with, this is the greatest psychotherapy that's ever been invented. It makes you calm and peaceful and relaxed. It removes the heavy burden from your shoulders that you're carrying. And it's very simple. For every disturbance that your mind comes up with, simply ask yourself, to whom does this come? Who's feeling this? And if you're being true to yourself, you'll say, I am. I'm feeling this. When you say, I am, stop to think a moment what you're saying. I am. What is the I? And from where did it come? Take stock of yourself and realize that all day long you say, I am happy, I am sad, I am sick, I am well, I am rich, I am poor. I feel this, I feel that, I feel depressed, I feel happy. You're always thinking of yourself. You always sit on yourself as I. Who is this I? What is this I? Where did it come from? And you inquire, who am I? All the time keeping the eye on your mind. Thinking of the eye. This eye is your ego. It is the first pronoun you think of every morning when you wake up. When you say, I am awake. Who's awake? I am. Who am I? You never answer that question. There's no answer for that question. There's only the question, who am I? No answer. Quietness, stillness. No other thoughts come to you. Whether the thoughts are good or bad makes no difference. See, in this practice, you're not trying to exchange good thoughts for bad thoughts. Or bad thoughts for good thoughts. You're not trying to change any thoughts at all. You're trying to find the source of the eye. Therefore, whatever comes to you, inquire, to whom does it come? Whatever source that comes to you, the inquiry is always the same. To whom does it come? Do not think for one moment that a beautiful source comes to you. You can stop with self-inquiry. For you're still thoughts, and they will change as they must. For all thoughts are subject to the law of change. From good to bad, from happy to sad. Therefore, not examine the thoughts so much, because it makes a difference what you think. It's all the same. All thoughts are the same, they're all belonging to the I. The I thought encompasses all of the thoughts that you can ever think about. Imagine a string. with the I at the end of it. And as you keep pulling the string out of your subconscious mind, all the thoughts that you ever thought and all of your lifetime that you ever lived are attached to that I, so the string. This is a wonderful revelation for you. For it means that if you get rid of the I thought, it will all go with it. Everything will go with it. All the thoughts that you ever thought about, your ego, everything that touches this I thought. Therefore, you don't have to work getting rid of thoughts. You merely follow the I thought back to its source. And again, all the karma, all the samskaras, the samsara that you're involved in, everything that you have been involved in will disappear when the I thought is gone. Now you may do this anywhere. While riding on the bus, driving your car, making breakfast, watch. Be aware. Look. See what your mind is doing. Even when you're sitting in the prescribed hours from 12 to 3, from 9 to 6, you can practice self-inquiry. Remember, self-inquiry is not meditation. Meditation requires a subject and an object. You are the subject, and you're meditating on an object. Meditation alone can take you so far. But to go beyond the subject and beyond the object, self-inquiry is the thing to do. With the subject and the object, like the body, the mind, the world, the universe, even God, all these thoughts are attached to the I thought. They're all part of the I. If the I weren't there, can you say, I believe in God? There's no I to believe in God. The I's been gone. You have transcended the I. So who believes in God? Which means that you have become God. It is only when you are aware of I that you think you're separate from God. But this can be very egotistical to some people, especially some new people who've never heard these things before. Be very careful. For instance, somebody asked me the other day, Robert, is it true that there's no God? There's no universe, there's no world, there's no liberation, there's no ignorance, there's nobody, there's nothing. I said, no, it's not true. There is God, there is a universe, there is a mind, there is a body. If there weren't, you wouldn't ask the question. This is what I mean when I say do not kid yourself. Not fool yourself. As long as you feel that you are a body, and you feel all day long for some of you, for every little thing bothers you, how many times have you become upset today? How many times do you react to life in a negative or positive way? This shows you where you are. So you can't go around saying there's no God, there's nobody. You're lying to yourself. The ultimate truth is there's no God, there's nobody. But you're experiencing the ultimate truth. Until you do, be humble. Have humility. Love God as yourself. Pray to God as yourself. Worship God as yourself. Bow to God as yourself. And one day all the images will disappear. And you will find your very self. So you have to begin where you are. Anyone can do self-inquiry. You simply ask, who's thinking these things? To whom do these thoughts come? To whom do these feelings come? To whom do these emotions come? To whom do these fears come? To whom do the doubts come? To whom do the suspicions come? The hate? Who's feeling all these things? Be honest with yourself and say, I am, I'm feeling all these things. But as you keep practicing these things, you will begin to separate yourself from the I. You will notice that whenever you say, I am, you're not talking about yourself any longer. When you come to this point, you make headway in the spiritual life. And you can say, to whom do these things come? To whom does the sphere come? The sphere comes to me. And yet you have a smile on your face because you realize, I am not me. So you inquire further, then who am I? And again you keep still. Very simple. Make it very simple. But like some of you, if you're reading four or five books at a time, going to a different teacher every night of the week, following 20,000 paths, and go crazy. You won't know what to follow. And pretty soon you'll drop everything and say, oh, this doesn't work. Again, you have to be true to yourself. You have to ask yourself, what do I really want out of life? What is it I'm really trying to acquire? Do I really want to become free? Or am I really looking for name and fame? What am I really looking for? Am I doing this practice because I want to have millions of dollars, or have abundant health, or have recognition. Those are all the wrong reasons for doing spiritual work. These things may come to you, but it has absolutely nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is for liberation, for freedom. That's all. Why do you want to be liberated? Why do you want to become free? For some of you realize that to be free and liberated means you'll never have to be born again. There will no longer be any birth for you. And if there's no birth, there'll be no death. You will live forever. You have become absolutely pure awareness. Your essence is all over the universe. You're all pervading. Your essence is in the mountains, in the trees, the universe. You are that. And you have bliss, total bliss, which can never be explained, can never be comprehended. It is so far beyond human thought. This is the reason you want to become liberated. This is the reason why you want to become free. Again, you have to be totally honest with yourself and see what you're doing with your life right now. What direction you're really going in. What you're really striving for, what you really want to do. People call me all week long telling me they're going to Hawaii, they're going to India, they're going to the moon. They go everywhere to see all the gurus, all the swamis. Why? Don't you realize by now that's all within you? That the whole teaching is within yourself? You are the teacher in the teaching. There's only one, and you are that. Awaken to your true self. Stop playing games. Some of you came here tonight to see what Robert is all about. To hear something profound, something illuminating. And I will purposely always disappoint you. For there's nothing profound to say. There's nothing illuminating to say. I'm not here to try and make you feel better. So you can go off and say, ah, that was a great lecture, I feel good. You can go to any church and hear that. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just sitting here talking to myself. You are that self. It's fun talking with yourself. I can say all is well. Everything's unfolding as it should. I can say I am is absolute reality. I am is pure awareness. I am that. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about I am. Which is the entire manifest universe. So you say, I always throw it back to you. This is your ball game. Your life. Are you tired of playing games? Reading the books? Going to gurus? Going all over the world? When everything's always been within yourself? So again, the three rules to remember: be at satsang as often as you can. And when I use the word satsang, I'm speaking of spiritual truth which is within you. So satsang can be in your office, in your home, in the woods, the mountaintop. It's all satsang. Always be at satsang. Rule number two. Sit with me at the prescribed hour. 12 to 3 a.m. and 9 to 6 a.m. Number three. Practice Atmavichara, self-inquiry. By inquiring to whom do these things come, who has these thoughts, whom do they come from? I feel them, I have them, they come to me. Who am I? Who is the source of the I? If you practice these things I've outlined for you, you have to make spiritual progress. There's no question about it whatsoever. There's no doubt about it. You have to make spiritual progress. It means you have to drop everything that's been taking hold of you all these years. You've got to drop it. And practice these three rules. Let go of everything else. Of course, in the ultimate reality, There's absolutely nothing you have to do. Because there's no one to do it. And like I say, you've got to be honest with yourself. And ask yourself, am I living the ultimate reality? If I'm living the ultimate reality, I will not be aware of my body, or my mind, or the world. I will be in the world and not of the world. And your feelings will no longer be hurt. You will no longer really feel anger or distraught. Then you can see in the ultimate reality and you don't have to do anything. Because again, there will be nobody left to do anything. You would have transcended the eye thought and the body and the mind. It will all be gone. It will be totally free. But as long as you still feel the body and react to it, then practice the three walls we outlined for you. And become totally free. Peace. Feel free to ask any questions. Consciousness is all the same. Consciousness, pure awareness, I am, absolute reality, are all the same. This is a pure state. Is unaffected by the world and the universe. This is a substratum of all existence. Call it what you may. It makes no difference what name you give it. It's what you feel. Words are not really that important. Those who feel the ultimate reality have no name for it. So when we talk about it, we have to make up a name, we call it the ultimate reality. But no one can really know what it is unless you've experienced it. And when you experience it, there's silence. There's nothing to say. Would you raise the hand?
Yes, Robert.
For a Yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman, the continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Announcements?
I don't have a copy of the book with me, but there are the transcripts from 1990 that have been put into book form. And if any of you are interested in, the new people interested in purchasing one, give Andy your name, and the new copies will be coming. We sold out all the other copies, so they'll be coming shortly. Within a week, I imagine, won't you? Within a week. There are transcripts on the table, recent transcripts for new people if you'd like to take some.
That's it?
That's it.
It's time for prasad. The real reason why you came here. Sweet.